Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm Paul Marks, your host, and we have a great show today with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. So I read a very interesting article online recently that laid out and explained that in today's competitive multifamily market, amenities alone might not be enough to attract and keep residents. The article appeared in the online version of Realtor Magazine, which is published by the National Association of Realtors. And the title of the article is How Experiences Are Replacing Amenities in Multifamily. Joining me by phone is the author of that article, Barbara Ballinger, who is a freelance writer and the author of several books on real estate. Also joining us are two of her sources quoted in the article, Mary Cook, founder and president of Mary Cook Associates, an award-winning interior design firm, and Devin Wirt, CEO of TF Living, providing amenities and solutions for multifamily properties. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
I wanted to start out, Barbara, by asking you, I know that we chatted briefly before the show, and you had mentioned that you are a freelance writer. What was it that caused you to go to this topic about the multifamily industry?
I've been following the multifamily industry for a long time as both on staff at the National Association of Realtors as a senior writer, and then once I went freelance, covering it for them, and also Hanley Woods, a developer magazine, and their multifamily executive magazine and Builder. And what I noticed that the amenities were getting fancier and fancier. You know, everybody was trying to come up with the latest and greatest from, I was saying with Paul, you know, swimming pools are old hat, even good gyms are old hat. Then it became outdoor living spaces with fire pits and cabanas. I've seen wider driveways in L.A., so they could accommodate food trucks pulling in and parking. I've seen buildings with multiple fish tanks, buildings with floor-to-ceiling bookshelves for a cozy library. I asked one place where I was, I said, are those real books or are they fake? You know, do the people who come here really read? And they said, yes, they do read. They are real books. But then I started hearing about a shift. And I think the first person I heard this from was actually Mary Cook, who's based in Chicago and works all over the country. And she let me know that she had just been at the Multifamily Executive Conference in Las Vegas, and that the big news, I'm always saying to all of my sources when I reach out by email or phone, what's going on, what's going on? And she said, what we're talking about is experiences. It's not just the brick and mortar. It's now making people feel good, cozy, comfortable.
And Mary, some of those items that Barbara was describing when she was going through her list of things that she saw in the past, I'm sure you were involved in a lot of those types of ideas.
Yes, definitely. We've designed all of those types of spaces and more. And what ended up happening is it almost became a Me Too sort of agenda where one developer would do something and the next one coming along and out of the ground would have to, well, we've got to do that plus this, plus this. And it became essentially an arms race for these grand and physical spaces. And then I think what happened after more than a decade of doing that, people took a second look and they're, you know, many of these spaces are sitting underutilized, and they're not being operated or facilitated in the way that they imagined. So everybody right now at this stage is taking a second look at amenities and how do we activate them. And it, you know, just like a great dinner party, it is, people don't care so much about what they're sitting on. They care who they're sitting next to. It really is about the people and creating the experiences and the in the services so the services to streamline life and make things simpler, to give them more time so that they can spend more time on the things they want to do, and then also the experiences that create and inspire a culture, create community, strengthen community, all those good things.
Here's something I've added again, which will bring in both Mary and Devin. One of the things that I think it was Mary who told me this is that it really needs to be thought out and planned what experience, or even going back to the old brick and mortar, what physical amenity is going into each building, instead of saying, okay, people seem to be wanting swimming pools again, for a while they weren't. People seem to want this. We'll try it and see if the people come. You know, build it and they will come. And that wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. So there's a much more targeted approach of, and I'd love Mary and Devin both to jump in, and Mary to talk about the building, I think it's outside Philly, where you really assessed what that population wanted in that Toll Brothers building.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, I was just going to say assessing the amenities and activating these spaces really depends so much on who you're designing for, and that always begins every process for us, is who are we designing for, where do they live, and what does it mean to how they live. At the Riverworks project on the banks of the Schuylkill River in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, we had right there two incredible amenities that were naturally there. There was a 26-mile jogging, biking trail that leads right into Center City, Philadelphia. So you immediately had a great amenity there. You had the river. People were kayaking. So we then, understanding the demographic that would find that appealing, we knew we were dealing with a young millennial, very outdoorsy, very active. We then designed a rock climbing wall for the fitness center to speak directly to that demographic.
I think that's a great point. When you take a look at the amenity space now, Mary, you know, we get to work with wonderful people like Mary about, you know, she's designing this amazing concept and taking a look at it, but it's now how are we getting the community out? What is that experience? And, you know, how are we really gathering people together, which is what the developers and the builders want to see. And, you know, it's really amazing to see some of the new stuff that's coming out of the industry, whether it's like Mary just talked about with rock walls, or you're going to see some of the things that have been going away a little bit are the golf simulators. But what are some of the ways that, you know, it's not just if you build it, they will come, but when you build it, how are we going to activate it, and how are we going to gather people in that space?
Yeah, exactly. And this is almost the perfect time for Devin to launch this company. I was very excited to read about him and his expertise and his whole agenda, because the builders and developers know how to build these spaces, but they don't necessarily know how to activate them. They don't know how to get and throw a great party. So they don't know how to reach out to local breweries and get them to host parties and, you know, create those experiences. So this is perfect to add this element of the equation. It's going to help in so many ways.
We've got a couple of minutes left in this segment. Devin, go ahead. I wanted to kind of end the segment talking about when the shift changed and also why it changed.
You know, why it changed to develop, you know, I literally just left a developers meeting right now, is that, you know, developers are putting multi-million dollars into their amenity center right now in order to attract either home buyers or new renters within apartments. And what they found is that when they start looking at the KPIs and the uses of these facilities with the new smart lock technologies that are out there, you know, companies like Butterfly MI or companies like Latch, they're able to track the data that's now associated with the usage of the amenity space. And they found that not as many people they thought were utilizing the gym. And they, you know, they found that, you know, whether it was on the Fitness Quest, that not many people were using these subscription-based services for multiple reasons, whether it was intimidation, whether it was lack of knowledge, or whether it was lack of programming. So, you know, we took a look at this about 3 years ago. We said, well, what can we do? You know, how can we integrate both technology as well with human interaction in order to really foster the sense of community? And, you know, that is kind of what we saw in the industry trend, and, you know, right now where it's partially going, and then where it's also going to go over the next couple of years.
All right. And as far as when you started noticing that there was a shift, how long ago was that?
So I noticed that. I was previously owned the company that I was fortunate enough to exit at a certain point in time. And so I noticed that when I was getting rid of that company. I started that company out of Philadelphia, and we noticed these high-rise condos being built with beautiful amenity spaces, but nobody was coming down to the gym. Nobody was using massage rooms. And it's honestly because the property managers on site just don't have time to do it. They're too busy on their day-to-day course that they don't have time to go reach out to local vendors to plan parties or to reach out to local massage therapists or to hire fitness instructors. So, we were able to, do a data survey, really engage some of the property managers that we knew previously, and then develop that concept from there. But most importantly, create it that's affordable to any homeowners association or multifamily management company or developer that was, really overlooking these facilities.
Okay. Well, great. We're going to be back after a couple of messages. This is a fascinating topic that we're talking about today, and we will be back just after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we are discussing the article entitled How Experiences Are Replacing Amenities in Multifamily. Joining me by phone is the author of that article, Barbara Ballinger, who is a freelance writer and author of several books on real estate. Also joining us are two of her sources who were quoted in the article, Mary Cook, founder and president of Mary Cook Associates, an award-winning interior design firm, and Devin Wirt, CEO of TF Living, providing amenity solutions for multifamily properties. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to let our listeners know that if you would like to provide show topic and guest ideas or suggestions of any kind, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website, www.multifamilyradio.com. We were talking about amenities and how things shift and change, and I'm kind of an old guy and been around the apartment industry for many years, and I can remember in the 1970s in the Houston, Texas market where we're based, that there were properties that were catering to singles, and as an amenity, they would have an actual functioning nightclub on the property. And of course, today,
very funny.
Today there's I'm sure there's tremendous liability with that, but those spaces on these older properties now that are still out there are probably sitting empty because they were built for that specific use. Let's talk a little bit about what causes the trend shift as far as the type of resident we're talking about? And we were discussing during the break that millennials are part of this this shift, the reason for this shift. What did you find about that, Mary?
So I want to take a wholesale glimpse here at the millennials and how they were raised. They were raised through that generation where on the for sale side, everybody was building the McMansions and everybody was taking all the things that were meant for public use, theaters, bars, fitness centers, all of those things that you would typically find in public, and they were putting them in their basement, in their home, in their conservatory, and they thought that people were going to come into their home and they would have the same kind of interaction that happened at the corner pub. And what in fact happened is as families got smaller as well, you had all that stuff inside your house, and what it in fact did is broke down community. So I think that the millennials today, as they get their first apartment and move up and move out and so forth, they have a yearning, and it might be a subliminal thing, but they have a yearning for community. They want to spend their time on experiences and with friends and activities and doing things as opposed to accumulating things like they might have seen their boomer parents do. Mm-hmm. So when we're designing these amenity spaces, keep that in mind that they have this sort of intuitive yearning to want to come together and be active. So when we're designing these spaces, you can't be so regimented about the way you design them. We also do quite a bit of work in the country club, golf club world, too, and we see the same thing there. You've got to design spaces that are adaptable and flexible for various times of year. You want to possibly have parallel events going on at the same time. You want to be able to adapt a space at various times of year, at various times of day. So keep it flexible. Understand that they have a natural, they want to be able to come down and kind of, you know, inspire an activity on their own. They don't want everything to be so regimented and so planned out. So these spaces need to be casual, come as you are, no need to bring a friend. And as soon as you start to try and monetize it, it changes all again. So keep that in mind, too. So community happens.
I'd like to add in also, I think it was a great point about the houses many of them grew up in. And also I found in writing a lot about student housing, it is so far from the type, I'm older, so it's so far from the type of dormitory I lived in, that a lot of these young people got used to having a lot of the amenities also in their student buildings, especially some of the ones that I've seen and written about in warm climates. You know, the pools, et cetera, are very much a part of their buildings, and it's a way to keep the students often on the campus or nearby in many cases.
Well, yeah, and the number one thing that the parents are interested in is the safety, so keeping them safe and on campus.
So then when they graduate and move, you know, into their first apartment, they don't want to go backwards. They want those and more. I mean, I think there's sometimes a sense of entitlement, unfortunately, but they're expecting them. And I think as Mary said, you know, their heads may be buried in their laptops, their tablets, their phones a lot of the time and busy photographing all the foods they're eating while they're eating them. Yet, they do come up for air and do want to be with their friends. They are social at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to speak from a little bit of an opposite perspective here. While I may not look it from my profile picture that's going to be posted here, I'm actually a millennial. So, you know, growing up in that era, is that part of it is that, you know, we did grow up with pictures or on a cell phone. And, you know, we grew up in an on-demand world. Like, everything that we've always had has been, you know, mainly over the last 10 or 15 years is at our fingertips. So we grew up with everything being instantaneous, and it's only going to, I honestly believe, get worse. Because, you know, speaking from, like, my perspective, my dad had cancer at one point in his life. And I think that what we realize is that a lot of the things that we used to worry about, you know, we're living life for the day. and not really for later on. I think it's what we see from a lot of millennials, which is creating a whole different problem from a financial perspective. But, you know, really millennials are looking for that experience because they want to live it for today, and they really want it on demand. That's where these new technology mm-hmm. companies and the apps are coming into play. I mean, they want it within 30 minutes. They want it within an hour. And that's why, mm-hmm. I mean, from our perspective, we just bought a dog walking company out of Boston to help like further facilitate that and provide that instantaneous response to services.
You're mm-hmm. such an impatient group, aren't you?
Yeah,
we just have high expectations, not impatience.
Okay, that's a good way. Good spin.
So I want to ask you this, and I guess, you know, Devin, you might be the one that could answer it. What, and Mary, you too, I would imagine, but what type of research do you have, does the industry have, showing that, you know, when you make these shifts to creating the experiences, how does that help in resident retention or in attracting new residents?
Mary, you want to take this or do you want me to start it off?
Go ahead and start it off and then I can probably add to it.
So, look, as far as retention and lease-up perspective, is that, you know, this is a big thing, is that, you know, right now it's not only a land grab for a lot of companies, but it's also a data grab. And what we're trying to find out is what do the residents want? How can we retain them? If we're actually going to say what amenities are actually going to retain them, right now, from speaking with ownerships or large-scale developers, they don't know that exactly because there's not been a data study per unit on a large-scale amenity basis that we can actually measure that completely. But in my own humble opinion, what we see and what we feel is that if you don't have it, the place next door will. And, you know, you're going to miss out on that tenant. Is that even if the resident who's going to lease there, that home buyer is going to buy that community, they may not use it that often, but they want it at their disposal. So if you don't build it, they won't come. And that is the truth because, you know, like every facility now that you're going to find is going to have a massive fitness center. They're going to have a dog park on site. They're going to have valet dry cleaning, whether it's through a locker or a service that's going to come on site. And a lot of it is, you know, that technology-based app's going to notify you of when it happens, or I'm going to see the individuals are going to come who are going to clean my unit. And that's what we're finding in today's industry.
The industry has some general statistics that if, for example, if you have a friend in the building, you're more likely to stay longer and maybe invite another friend. There's some general things like that. We have a little thing called ROE, or return on environment, and it sums up the net benefits that a developer or an organization gets by designing spaces that allow people to feel, be, and do their best. So that's a general thing for us. And what we do is we go back in and look at, okay, so food and beverage, we designed a park district facility, and after doing so, food and beverage increased 25%. They had to bring in craft beer, gourmet sandwiches, spirits. At this club, they were going for a young family demographic looking to increase it. Membership increased 52% over the year after the renovation. So we call it ROE, and we do that in the multifamily as well. We'll go back into some of these amenities, and we watch the way they're being used, sometimes making adjustments and sometimes just letting it flow. So it's a really cool thing to do. And it definitely, if you can create spaces that inspire a sense of pride, people linger longer, people bring more friends, people use more, It definitely pays out in the end.
Great, great. Devin, we got to take a break, but we'll jump back in on that in just after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero. Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the article entitled How Experiences Are Replacing Amenities in Multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is the author of that article, Barbara Ballinger, who is a freelance writer and the author of several books on real estate. Also joining us are two of her sources who she quoted in her article, Mary Cook, founder and president of Mary Cook Associates, an award-winning interior design firm, and Devin Wirt, CEO of TF Living, providing amenity solutions for multifamily properties. Before we jump into the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor, making make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So, one of the things that I know was featured in your article, Barbara, was about the different apps and technology that's available now. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. I reached out to some sources, and I got feedback on two that I thought were very interesting, and I'd love to know how Mary and Devin, if they use these at all. One is Lyra Intel, which is a technology platform out of Charlotte, which offers clients an app to gather data to integrate into their existing property management system to see how well different programs are being used. And AppFolio out of Santa Barbara, California, also collects data through its software to help building owners decide on services and figure out when and how to activate amenity sites.
Do you guys?
So they don't have to use old-fashioned questionnaires of tapping into the residents. Are you going here? Which they may respond to, may not, or emailing them for comments.
Are you guys familiar?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mary.
No, go ahead, Devin. I was going to say that all of these are great because if you can track it, if you can measure it, you can improve it. So that's what we always want to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big data play right now. And the wonderful thing is that all these companies are working together, whether, like, you know, Mary, you probably see it all the time when you're designing stuff. What cutest spot system are we going to use? And is it going to integrate with AppFolio, as Barbara mentioned, or is it going to integrate with Yardi so we can track the data on who we allow access to or how that's going to work? And mm-hmm. at least what we're seeing is that everything's becoming a unified experience. So right now, whether it's like, we use our friends over here, like Bixby, who's out of New York, or Mobile Doorman, who's out of Chicago, a lot of apps are now integrating with the property management systems to create a unified experience to pay rent, to request maintenance tickets, to book amenity services like we offer. And we all just have what's called an open API that, allows that enhanced resume experience. So it's a really wonderful thing.
One of the things that we discussed during the break was the where is this going? Where are amenities going in the affordable arena? And that leads me to another question, not specifically about affordable, but there's a obviously when you're dealing with a brand new property that's being built, you can account for the space needed for these types of amenities, and you have the ability to plan those into it. What about older properties that may not be an A-class property, a B-class property, and so forth, as far as some of these amenities? Are you guys working at all with those types of properties? And if so, what types of amenities are you seeing them use?
I can speak just real quick on that. The affordable thing is an issue that all of us have to embrace, and we've got to figure it out. And I can't figure it out unless I actually do it. So I took on a project with Pearl, an affordable housing developer, and am in the process of designing that and working through it. It is an affordable product for seniors in New Jersey, and there are amenities. There is a fitness, there's a computer lab, a library. They're minimal and they're modest, but they nevertheless, if you're a single mom working two jobs, you too want to be able to walk to, you too want to be able to work out, or you too want to be able to have a club room. So we have to figure it out, and I had to do it in order to figure it out. So I'm in the process of doing that right now.
No, I
agree with that. It's a major problem right now. I do feel that developers are going to start tackling this in order to go after that market. And then what they're going to do to, you know, build out those spaces, design the beautiful spaces that Mary would, and then, you know, if they're going to provide, whether it's, you know, all resident pay services or whether they're going to substitute with experiences on different subsidies that they may pay for to enhance the experience. But it's a problem that, you know, we're all going to figure out as it continues to grow.
And in the
I think we also have to do a better job of educating the public, because people don't know what affordable housing is,
right?
And they need to understand it and let it in.
And in the non affordable arena, just the conventional or market rate, but not necessarily a new property, one that's maybe a Class B property. Are there any projects going on, or any of these amenities that would lend themselves to being retrofit into into one of those types of properties?
We see that happening every day. I mean, most properties that we work with, developers are buying not new parcels of land, especially in the Northeast corridor, the New Yorks, the Chicagos. They're refurbishing buildings and, you know, providing value add to the buildings to help, honestly, drive rents. Mm-hmm. And then also create a marketability for people to come there as well. So, I mean, even within what they call Class B buildings, what we have found is that metrics actually increase on site when providing amenities, because sometimes they're appreciated more, you know, from the basic feedback we got that their management company, their developer would be able to offer those services, and it's complimentary to them to have that experience on site.
And so what types of amenities and experiences in that arena are you seeing? I mean, obviously they may not have the ability to put in or the space, because of the way the property was designed, to be able to put in some of the things that you can put into and Mary can design into a brand new property. What types of things are those owners trying to do?
So, I mean,
just as an observer, and say, I've seen a number of buildings in New York City, where I spend a lot of time, where they're, you know, readjusting, tinkering with spaces, that there's an extra space here or there, and it becomes an on-site gym. It may not be large and super luxurious and have a steam room, but it does have some good equipment. And I've also seen, for a while, I saw a lot of playrooms go into buildings in New York City, and now I'm hearing that some of those are being shifted if, you know, they don't attract a very young population.
Okay. Devin, you were going to say something?
And we learned some lessons on those rooms for kids as they became a nanny hangout, and it wasn't so good. So we started eliminating them, or the developers did.
Yeah. Devin, did you have something you were going to say?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, what we found is that, you know, developers are putting in small gyms, but, you know, what they're really looking for right now is that we found that dog parks are really big amenities. Mary, I don't know how much you've seen, like, the new Amazon lockers that have been put in within Class B buildings, but, you know, even different amenities like that to, you know, secure the packages and not make sure that the front desk is going to be cluttered with boxes as we live in a digital age now.
Yeah,
we have that. Every building has those package, you know, the package stores walk with, whether they be Amazon or another. And one situation I can think of that we did in Cambridge, Massachusetts, for AIMCO, it was a building right there in between MIT and Harvard's campus. They had planned for no amenities, and the developer didn't plan for anything. And when AIMCO bought the building, they said, okay, figure it out, carve out, say, take the basement, take whatever. And we ended up having to carve out. And so from the basement, we got a game room, a lounge area, a fitness on demand, and a dog wash. And, you know, it's tiny space, but it's busy all the time, they said. People love it. They're down there all the time. It's in the basement.
Wow.
So it's how you outfit it and understand the understanding who you're designing for.
Yeah, understand the needs of your residents. You know, interestingly enough, I went to a property on a Saturday about a year ago, Class B property, and when I pulled up to go into the office, there was a truck, and they were loading up some type of exercise equipment, you know, all identical, and they had brought in, maybe it was a spin class, I don't recall, but they had brought in, since the gym at the property didn't have enough for everybody, they brought in, you know, 20 or 25 of these cycles or whatever they were using, and held a class. And I didn't get a chance to ask the manager if that was something they paid to do, or that was something that the person who was conducting it was doing it in an effort to get more clients for their business. But I thought that was very creative, and I'd love to have you guys comment on that, but we are up against a break. We need to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with our fourth and final segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
And we are back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and today we are discussing the article entitled How Experiences Are Replacing Amenities in Multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is the author of that article, Barbara Ballinger, who is a freelance writer and the author of several books on real estate. Also joining us are two of her sources that she quoted in the article. Mary Cook, founder and president of Mary Cook Associates, an award-winning interior design firm, and Devin Wirt, CEO of TF Living, providing amenity solutions for multifamily properties. I do want to let our listeners know that when they go to our website, if they would like to get a copy of this article or be able to read the article, I will have a link posted on the episodes page for this particular episode, and you can click on that and you can read the article, print the article, whatever you would like to do. So before the break, I was talking about the classes that the class that I saw where they were using some type of a spin cycle or something, and they brought those all in for the residents. Devin, you do a lot of that type of stuff, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I mean, our company's entire job is to, you know, curate experiences. We start within the fitness sector. I mean, right now we're running over 600 weekly classes for apartment complexes in, you know, now 20 states and over 200 properties. And, I mean, that's the entire thing. I mean, to kind of go back to where Mary started off at is, you know, starting to activate, you know, not only, like, dropping bikes in to be able to perform a spin class, or now there's spin bikes that you can drop in the pool to do an aqua spin class. There's a lot of different ways to start activating these spaces, and not just the gym, but performing rooftop yoga or performing poolside yoga, depending upon what it is, to start creating curbside appeal and different engagement metrics.
Okay, and that brings up the topic of wellness. Mary, you I know are involved in wellness and in your designs.
Just look at the newsstand at when you're checking out with your groceries. Wellness is everywhere. It is mindfulness, fitness, wellness, and we are seeing it now as the overarching focus of and theme of several communities. We've got one in Atlanta for Toll Brothers that we're doing that designing right now on the campus of Emory Hospital with a wellness theme. And then one in Los Angeles, which will be a value add, where that community will be completely revamped with spa services, wellness. There'll be a farm-to-table food prep area. There'll be an organic garden. There'll be meditative. I mean, it goes on and on. And it is completely dedicated to wellness. So that is, I would say, the number one thing that people are thinking about and planning for as we look to the future.
Okay. And speaking of activity and wellness, let's talk a little bit about the rise in developing active adult type properties and what type of amenities would change from a millennial dense property. Mary, you think?
I think that what we're seeing for the empty nesters, they might be downsizing and they might be choosing to live multifamily in order to be closer to their children who might be at risk of transferring, and so they don't want to buy something. They want to be near the grandkids. So think of the amenities that will support them. Either they're looking for walkability, they're looking to have access to restaurants and entertainment and theater and all that. So a lot of those suburban projects, which have all those urban amenities close by and walkable, are very attractive to. So then somebody like Devin could come in and facilitate activities like theater or jogging or walking or architectural tours or whatever it is. So those kinds of amenities might be a little bit different from a millennial, but they too are very, very wellness focused. Storage parking is also a big key for them, where for millennials, maybe not so much on the parking. So,
Yes, and the location is so key because the walkability, they want to be close to sometimes to a downtown. It doesn't have to be a big downtown like a Chicago or New York, but some kind of downtown. And they want good access to health care. That is, you know, as those knees are being replaced, et cetera. I mean, that's a big concern. Mm-hmm. And also, and a university, classes.
Oh, exactly, sir.
Yeah, we find location's the biggest thing right now. I actually just pulled up to a spot where I'm going into my next location. I'm by the King of Prussia Mall outside of Philadelphia, and we actually manage a property here called Canvas, which is a Carlyle Group project managed by Bizzuto, and it's an active adult rental community, but it's walkable to the mall. All the restaurants here, all the shops, hospitals close by. It's the location that's going to be key for these individuals so they can have that lifestyle that they want now that they're empty nesters.
Yes, even though it's wasn't designed for the empty nester, I love the building that Mary helped out with in Cambridge, where, you know, they go right outside, and like next door practically there are amenities for them. Vivo.
Those are zero commute to for those that are working, and those that are not, your accessibility to coffee shops and theater and both of the universities, Harvard and MIT, right there. So
I have friends who are downsizing, and everybody's talking, and that who's thinking about it, should they move near the children, the grandchildren, and some of them are still working, so they do want to be near work. They may want to give up a lot of, I think the interest is giving up maintenance chores. That's a big reason to do
zero
so.
Maintenance for sure. Yes.
Well,
that's a big thing. And then they want flexibility to be able to. So they like the idea of renting, because if in fact their son-in-law gets transferred, they're going to go too.
Right. I think a lot of people in that older age group, they've been there and done that. They've had the home, whether it's large or medium large. They've had all the spaces, which they don't use in many cases. They don't need the living room, family room, den. They need one space. They need one table to eat at. They don't need both a dining room, or as long as they have a good kitchen with eat-in, as long as there's flexibility to open up a larger table, like Mary was talking about early on, flexibility.
And that's actually what we've done in some of the amenity spaces for that empty nester, is there's a dining room as part of the amenity where you can still have the family dinner for 20 people, but it's just not in your unit. It's down in the club area.
Well, I think we've got a couple of minutes left before we are going to start to close out. I wanted to ask you guys for the multifamily executive who's listening to this, what tips do you have when they're looking at trying to decide how to create experiences, how to create amenities, and so forth? I know a big part of your article, Barbara, was do the research. And what kind of tips can we offer them for just a couple of minutes?
I would start off, by the way, I always reach out to lots of different types of sources. I think you can look at magazines, you can look online, you can take a walk in the neighborhood, go look at those new buildings going up and see what they're offering, which, may be different from what you're aware of. I just think, manage by walking around and talking to people. Say, hey, what are you doing now, or what are you seeing that's different? There are a lot of good industry sources, too, as I say, the NAR, the website, and the magazine, and other ones like Hanley Woods Multifamily Executive.
Sure. And Mary, what tips would you offer?
The protocol for how to create a phenomenal community is to begin with an evaluation of the demographic, which are the hard facts, the who, what age, what income, what all that. Focus on the psychographics next, and then build the brand. So the branding, so we start with demographics, we go deep into the psychographics, which is the relationship that this demographic has with certain values and certain things. We then create a brand, and the design, our design is a response to that development of that brand. The branding and the design interiors run parallel and hand in hand. They are integral to each other. And that's how we end up creating the kinds of spaces that we do that drive different kinds and better results than others. So that's the key.
Okay. Devin, do you have something you want to add?
I think Mary hit right on the nail on the head. It's just understanding the demographic, understanding the story you want to tell at the site, you know, really going towards the brand with that, but gearing it towards the resident who's going to live there. And I couldn't explain it any better myself. I mean, it's really understanding the demographic and, you know, understanding the economics behind it and, you know, going from there. So,
okay, well, we've only got a couple of minutes left. I want each of you to be able to just let our listeners know a little bit about yourselves and what you're doing and how they can reach you if they would like to talk with you about some of the items we discussed today. You want to take it, Barbara?
Sure. Barbara Ballinger again. I have a website, www.barbaraballinger.com, which has a lot of my articles and other shows I've been on, etc., my resume. I write a wide variety, residential, commercial, real estate design. I do a weekly blog with a writing partner, Life Lessons at 50 Plus, and now you know I'm over 50. Has that, you know, secrets out of the bag or whatever. And I've been covering real estate architecture for a long time, and I just love it.
Great.
So contact me if you have a great story idea. I'd love to hear from you at bb@barbaraballinger.com.
Okay, Mary?
Mary Cook. We are a Chicago-based interiors firm that at any given time, like right now, we have projects going on in 16 states. Completed projects in 36 states. So there isn't a demographic or a geographic region of the country that we haven't worked in. We're very, very passionate about serving the builder-developer industry with interiors that help them set themselves apart and above the competition. We love it. We think we do it better than anybody. We'd love to talk to you about your next project. The best place to reach us, you can go onto our website at www.marycook.com. You can email me, mcook@marycook.com, or call the office. There's people there all the time, and we actually answer the phone. So would love to hear from you.
Great. Devin?
We would love to be part of the experiences. Our entire job, Devin Wirt, CF Living, is to curate experiences regardless of the budget that the asset has. And we have now done that in less than 3 years. We provide services in 72,000 units across 19 states. And, anybody looking to see what we do can visit our website at www.tfliving.com. You can email me directly, Devin, D-E-V-I-N, @tfliving.com. And, you know, if you're a multifamily manager, HOA manager, just looking to provide value-added services on a unified platform, whether tech or website, we would love to be able to, you know, have the opportunity to win the bid, talk to you about it, and see how we can help really engage your residents and provide a better experience.
Well, thank you. And this has been a fascinating topic today. We are going to be back next Friday at 10 a.m. and every Friday at 10 a.m. with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.